Merry Christmas to you. The merriest Christmas to all of you. I think I like the way that sounds. Yes. Merry Christmas. Merry, merry, merry Christmas. Oh, I feel so good. I'll celebrate Christmas every day of the year. I'll be the best person I can possibly be. I'll do better than that. I'll be a friend to the needy. I'll be a friend to everyone. I'll never be mean again.
Ho, 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 we are back. Underground Espionage, episode 40. Merry Christmas to all. Tara, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, Mike.
We're still going to have another episode for Christmas as well. This isn't even the last Christmas episode, but it is very fitting for Underground Espionage as we are doing Christmas porn.
We got ramrodded with the spirit.
The spirit
was blasted into us.
It was.
We will never be mean again.
We will never be mean again. We will live Christmas every day because we watched The Passions of Carol.
That's true.
Tara, how is it going?
I'm trying to decide if the digital frame is going to distract
me. I forgot to turn off
digital
frame.
It is a seasonal digital frame. I would say maybe, or just turn it the other way. I think I will get distracted
by
the digital
frame.
I'll have
to turn it off.
It's hard to, like, I just saw somebody with a candy cane, and I was like, oh, that looks nice. What a pretty photo with the candy cane. And not that I'm tempted by the candy cane, but the wonderful person holding the candy cane
was
a little distracting.
Well, absolutely. I believe it's Peyton Presley.
I believe that is Peyton Presley, and now I have. I'm not a big fan of... Candy canes. However,
I feel aesthetically I like them.
Love them aesthetically.
But I don't know if I've ever actually eaten an entire candy cane.
Who could do that? And then you don't need to break all your teeth off. You go to the dentist every day like we do. But then, like, I also don't want somebody ruining my drink by putting a candy cane in it. Like, they'll be like, here's a hot cocoa, and they put a candy cane in it. It's like, you don't put a candy cane in unless it's fucking, sorry. I won't swear.
Tara, you can fucking swear.
I've been really bad. Okay.
We are talking about porn.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what's funny? Because
I wasn't trying to not. I was just, you know, challenging myself.
As I've always said, it's merely an old school radio thing that we implemented in Noise Extra. It's obviously not some sort of moral reason to not swear. Just an old school radio thing to try to find the other word. But I'll say that I actually enjoy hearing you swear when I listen back to episodes.
It seems natural.
So I like it.
Don't jam a candy cane in my cocoa unless it's a fucking peppermint cocoa.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I'm saying. Because then you got to commit to being something peppermint flavored. So don't like stick some candy cane on it and expect it to do all the heavy lifting.
Don't shove that candy cane gently up your ass. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. That would be a more appropriate use for the candy cane. I would prefer it up my ass than
now I'm rethinking
in my
candy canes.
Peppermint hot cocoa.
Now I might like a candy
cane.
That's
kind of cute. That'd be adorable. Now, I am assuming that's what Peyton was about to do. But the other wonderful Christmas treat that we've been enjoying is the cocoa rolls.
Okay, yes, the cocoa rolls. I was going to lead you into another Christmas time treat. Do you have the cocoa rolls there?
Yeah, I do.
All right, so let's go ahead and look here at Underground Espionage.
Do you want me to do like a fake commercial for these?
Well, look, here at Underground Espionage, we like to, you know, dole out advice as well as, you know, you are the snack, you're the queen of snacks. And so I think it's always good for you to let the listeners know what a good Christmas time treat is.
During this wonderful holiday season, I suggest that you all try Sun Tropics White Chocolate Mint Dipped Cocoa Rolls. That's right, they're perfectly light, perfectly crispy, and every bite has a bit of coconut in it, a bit of white chocolate, and the little crispy crunch of sprinkles. Appropriately colored for the holiday season.
I really wish that we were actually being paid to advertise that, because these are awesome, and I would like to just be paid in the bag of these. And you know, Terry, you mentioned how they're coconut rolled.
Well, but the roll is like a little wafer, but it's not like chunky coconut. It's coconut.
Tara, you stepped on my train of thought. Let's rewind a little bit.
The coconut, go on.
Because I need to admonish a listener, because there is a listener who has contacted you to tell you that coconut is trash.
Oh, that's right. A listener did say that.
I'm going to go ahead and just directly address said listener that you are completely incorrect.
Coconut is the opposite of trash.
It is delicious, and these are delicious.
Wonderfully versatile. Can you hand me a cocoa roll? I'm having one too.
I would too. You know,
you are doing the one bite. I like to do three or four bites.
I bet 99% of the listeners would also like to be having a bite. This one listener who thinks he's better than everybody.
Why would he shit on coconut like that? Like, dear chump. Chump, who is my friend, I appreciate that you don't like dark chocolate. There are many people who don't like dark chocolate. Sometimes I'm not in the mood for dark chocolate. I love it, but sometimes I'm in the mood for it. You know what I mean? I get that. But like, coming at coconut so hard when all it's doing is giving you a beautiful texture on something. This, for these cocoa rolls, it's giving you a charming flavor, because it was going to be like one of those Purina, you know, just wafer rolls. And sometimes those are a little bland. You know, we eat the part that has the filling in it or that's dipped, and then you throw the rest away. This one, I find the wafer part to be as delightful as the part that's dipped in white peppermint chocolate.
This bite is for you.
Yeah. I can shove some coconut right up your ass.
Absolutely delicious.
You know what I mean, buddy?
Now, Tara, I think it's important, because this is a discussion we have.
Mm-hmm. Important.
About dark chocolate. Mm. Because we're just going to eat the rest of the episodes for everybody? Well, chop in your ear?
I don't know. I'm just thinking about these coconut rolls, cocoa rolls.
But
really
here's the progression
one.
Of dark chocolate in someone's life. Obviously, milk chocolate is the first chocolate you have. Yeah. As a kid, you don't want dark chocolate. Yeah. You continue in the milk chocolate train. And then at a certain point, you're like, I'm going to be the guy that gets into dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And you start eating dark chocolate, and you're like, you sort of force yourself to like it. Until eventually...
Like, I'm an adult. I have to start eating
until eventually
chocolate.
You come back around and be like, yeah, milk chocolate is actually the best. Now...
But somebody gives you a Hershey Kiss and you're like, ah.
It is the best. But now, there are some good dark chocolate things that I will get... I can, you know, get into. Yeah. But yes, correct. Overall, milk chocolate is the superior
Well,
chocolate.
I did break down and buy a box of little wrapped... wafer cookies.
So
like it's the brand that I think it's called Loacker.
This is what I thought you were about to discuss.
Yeah, and I love them because it's a brand that makes those like quadratini like wafer cookies. But then I found this giant box of individually wrapped ones. Like last year, Mike, we got the quadratini variety pack. But then I found the other ones, and these are the wafer cookies that have been dipped in various things, such as white chocolate, then rolled in coconut. Which, hands down, is my favorite.
It's so good. In fact, you hid them from both of us so that we didn't...
I did. I put backups because I knew that I would fish them all out and then I would be so sad. And then I was thinking about them, so I've been trying to eat these cocoa rolls so I wouldn't dig all the white. Why is it so good? And, like, look, white chocolate can be garbage itself. Like, sometimes, like, white chocolate, like, just a plain white chocolate bar, like, the thought of it makes my stomach hurt. However... You can do some things with it, like put it in a wafer cookie, dip it, roll it in coconut. Then it's like perfect. You know, white chocolate can really enhance some wonderful, like white chocolate mixed with peanut butter is fantastic.
Absolutely.
I used to make candies with peanut butter and white chocolate. Then I would dip it in white chocolate, then cover that in cinnamon and put like a little aniseed in the end. And that was really good. It was like a peanut butter cup.
Absolutely. Mm. Look, we're giving you those Christmas time treat. Lessons here on Underground Espionage. Look,
but
it is,
you did eat the dark chocolate wafer cookie. And
it's
enjoyed
amazing.
It, right? They're
really,
really good.
I'm saying sometimes dark chocolate's amazing.
Yeah, but like, and you're having some red wine, and then you have a little dark chocolate, you know. And sometimes you don't want it to be too sweet. I won't let you go on. I won't.
All right.
I won't let you move forward. I don't want to talk about snacks.
I'm not moving forward. I was just trying.
I have a bag of turkey pepperoni.
I was just trying to say that this is our. Season. This month is our month, and we've really been going just full on embracing, obviously, as we do, as anyone listener knows, we've been doing it for the past 2 months, but this week especially, look, we have the lights. We've been listening to so much great Christmas slash music that feels like the music to listen to.
We did find our red and green wave light, and then let's throw some out there, Mike.
What we've been listening to?
Yeah.
Well, we have been listening to early Der Blutarsch, mm-hmm. always feels like it's great around this time of the year. La Joya de la Princess, which I always say, I start to say it and then I feel like I'm floundering because I know I'm probably pronouncing
it. No, you did it right. And then Fire and Ice.
Was great today. Really, so great. Really yeah, good that, today. That kind of era of stuff, but also the Lunar Womb, that CD we always listen to around this time.
I love that too.
Put out by Tordegard and Hospital. That we need always to feels to right around Luster. This time. Luster First Snow. Oh, absolutely incredible.
I love Luster First Snow. That's so good.
Absolutely one of our favorites to listen to around this time of year. Death Pack International, the double Christmas tape, which has the great Christmas Carol on the final side. Mm-hmm. It's just old, you know, the old sounding, the old voices. It's so great. Hail Santa, great, another great tape on mm-hmm. Hospital. So, you know, Hospital always does the great holiday-themed releases. Speaking of still available, the Failing Lights Year's Ending Dark Ambient box set. So nice. Head over to Hospital to grab that, is still available. But, yeah, and watching a ton of stuff. But also, aside from that Christmas, our people, underground stuff... One of the great things that we were turned on to this year was the Rob Halford Christmas record.
Yes.
Incredible.
Fantastic.
Had not heard that.
So
Celestial.
Fun.
It's
I love
so
it.
Good.
I love it.
Donner and Blitzen, an original song. So great.
Yes.
That's been amazing. And then really just...
I woke up last night.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of times, because I'm an adult. That's what you do.
It is exactly
you wake
what
up
you do. Turn, you wake, arms numb, turn.
Something hurts. You wake up at...
Get cool pillow, flip it.
You wake up at 3:30 a.m. on the nose every night, no matter what, unless you go to bed after 3:30 a.m. Sorry,
that's
I said
true.
P.m. I mean a.m. And I just kept singing in my head, "Where's Blitzen, baby?"
Of course, gotta listen to Ramones. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight.
It was just Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight.
Hey.
But Where's Blitzen, baby? Just kept on, like, singing it in my head. Where's Blitzen, baby?
As stated, as we have taken back in the past few years, we've stated this publicly before, but in case you haven't heard us state this, one of the greatest Christmas songs of all time, Mariah Carey. All I Want for Christmas Is You. You think you're like, no, that's the song I hear in the grocery store.
Yeah.
The song I hear. Erase all that.
Yeah.
Go listen to it as just
really good.
A song. It's we've probably listened to it like 50 or 60 times.
And I'm going
to
say this, like, I heard two different covers. I heard one with a guy and it was kind of slowed down and it was absolute garbage. I hated it. And then I heard one with a lady who was trying to do Mariah Carey, but the production value wasn't as hype. And you didn't have that, like, wall of sound.
It's total
feel.
Phil Spector. It's so
only
good.
Phil Spector feel. And it was also trash. I like the thing. I like it. Sorry.
I'm not apologizing.
It's great.
It is an incredible song.
You know, it's kind of my thing. You know, I apologize. I'm sorry. I like it. You know? Sorry, I brought home these cocoa rolls. And now
well,
you
should apologize because we were just
gorgeous. Oh, God, I bought two bags last time. Well, you know the other thing that I found, since we're doing just endorsements, I'm going to endorse one.
Yeah, no, hey, anybody feel free to, you know.
I would like to make another ad free, forever. Woodwick candles. Remember when they came out and they had that flat wick that was just kind of like
never stay lit.
And they never stay lit and they sucked. And I was like, ah, man, it's a good concept. I like the sound it makes. I like the flame it makes. But these fuckers don't stay lit. So I give up on you, Woodwick candles. But for some reason this year, because we're doing Long Christmas, I was like, I want the crackling fire sound. I want to try a Woodwick candle again. And they figured it out.
It's
they
great.
Took the old just like... you know, stick that was stuck in it, and then they made it kind of like a cross, you know?
It's
and then
great.
It burns,
and
it works.
It crackles
and it does
the whole time.
It crackles the whole time. It doesn't go out. It's great.
We
if you haven't tried a Woodwick candle in a long time, they improved.
We've got that and the smell of Christmas aromatique candle just kick. We actually had to get a second one.
We had because to get a second one. We blazed through that other
one. We got that. We're burning frankincense and myrrh. It is.
I love the smell of frankincense and myrrh.
A Christmas one.
Well, and then you're wearing this a crest. It smells like a Catholic church.
Someone noted it the other day. A friend said I smell like a Catholic church. So
you smell like a Catholic church. It's great.
That is exactly what we're going
for. It's like that lady that told me once. She was like, "You smell like incense and crackers," and I was like, correct. "That is probably accurate." I would say yes, I do smell like incense and crackers.
I was looking over at the recent listening section over there, and I did, of course, want to shout out Gray's Laughing Chance tape. I don't think he made like only 8 copies, and I don't know if he's making it available press of it or putting it up on Bandcamp, but it's called Trespass. Great tape. If he does make it available, make sure to grab it.
Did you know there are words on the back of my socks? I got these socks in Japan. Dear listeners,
let's see.
I'm going to show you in a minute and you're going to laugh. I want to see if the other side says the same thing. Yeah, it does. Okay, so I got these socks in Japan. I have this theory that my feet are cold because they're cold, and if I put socks on, it doesn't make any difference. I just have cold feet.
I don't know if
you've
ever gone on public record about this.
It really makes
ridiculous.
It really
thing
makes
of yours.
My crazy.
It's nuts.
But the theory is they're just cold inside of a sock.
That
that's
is
all.
Ridiculous.
You got to warm them up other ways. You got to stand in a tub of hot water. You got to get
that's great too.
You got to do another thing. You got to warm them up. And then you can put socks on once they're warm because it holds the heat in. But if I just put socks on cold feet, they'll just stay cold. So I got to warm them up, then put socks on. It holds the heat in. That's my theory. Anyway, I put these socks on that I got in Japan, and they are checkerboard. And they say something on the back that is really funny. I'm going to take it off, Mike, so you can see. You know, when you get socks in Japan and you see the labels.
Oh, yeah. It says, it says run through.
I've been run through.
There is some run through ho. Some ran through.
It's like a ran through ho. Run through. That's
funny.
Me right here. I got it on my socks.
That's
I never
funny.
Knew there were words on it. It's embroidered even.
Wow.
On the back of these in orange. Run through.
Wow.
Wow. That really describes me.
Amazing. Well, before we get into Passions of Carolyn, of course, we've been watching tons of stuff. Still in a great something weird zone and watching the extras on Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, which has some of the other retro Christmas classics that aren't on the one that we did the episode on. The Liberace Christmas special, particularly a great one.
Yeah.
So good. Hey, here in California, it doesn't snow, so we have to, use our imagination.
Oh,
like,
my God.
So
Liberace, the so amount
good.
Of times. Like, when people wink at a camera, I don't know.
There was an amazing moment where you were cooking in the kitchen, and you just happened to look in at the exact moment that Liberace winked at the camera, and Tara's like, thanks, Liberace. Like, you were so excited. You're like,
oh, that's right back at you, babe.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Like, sometimes I don't know how to feel. I'll be like, ugh. And my immediate reaction is horror. But then I'm like, oh, that's nice. I want Liberace to wink at me. You know what I mean?
No, that's really good. But there's 2 movies of note that we watched this week that, hey, maybe like next year or something we'll do full episodes on. But we watched 2 incredible Christmas and Christmas adjacent movies this week, and one of them being The Thin Man.
Yeah,
how
absolute
incredible
classic film. And if you had been like, "Have you seen The Thin Man?" I was like, "Yeah, I've seen The Thin Man." I had not seen The Thin Man, and all the hype around it, all of the accolades that it receives, it deserves all of them.
It's so
fantastic.
So when we were we've been in much more of a, I think I mentioned this last week, much more of a classic Christmas movie
I've
zone.
I've been in a pre-code.
Yeah,
mood,
as opposed to, obviously we love our Christmas slashers. But, sometimes you got to take a break 1 year so that they're fresh again the next year. That's not to say that we're not going to be watching Christmas Evil on Christmas Eve, which is for sure going to happen. But we've been more in the old
30s,
40s.
Yeah, and The Man Who Came to Dinner didn't even kick it off. We were already there, but
exactly.
The Man Who Came to Dinner is fucking hilarious.
Exactly. And I love people have been like, oh, got to see that. And actually someone wrote today that there's a great Bette Davis book where she was in her own Man Who Came to Dinner situation where she had to end up having to stay at someone's house.
Oh, my goodness. I need to follow up and get into it. I got to read the Bette Davis book. I love her.
It was recommended today.
I am going to do that.
So
that's what I'm going to read next.
So we've been going for more 30s, 40s, 50s Christmas stuff. And Thin Man's 37. The immediate description when Tara, because Tara's been just sort of just searching like 30s Christmas movies, you know?
Yeah. And I've been reading about the description
Christmas. And it was like a married couple like drink 6 martinis
and like go and, off on an adventure and something like that.
And we're like, oh, wait, they made a movie about us?
It's like a married couple drinking martinis and solving crime.
And so that's all we needed. And that it takes place at Christmas. And they wake up, they get drunk on Christmas Eve, wake up kind of hungover on Christmas morning, and they get involved in this
And they
mystery.
Have an amazing doggy.
And
wait, they have a dog, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's the one with the dog. Yeah, yeah.
Asta. I was like, did I conflate that?
And
I questioned
it's
myself.
It's so great. It's so funny. They're just drinking the entire time. They're just, he wakes
they're
up.
They're quite jolly. They're having a blast. I mean, everything they do, they're just having a blast. They're doing it together. They're very witty. It's in the, I mean,
it's genuinely hilarious.
Anyone who loves like fashion, you're going to love it. It's
you were incredibly into the hats. As well as the hat.
It's something like it's a very forward thinking fashion. It's kind of the style of like shoulder pads and ruffles that I think of in like the early 40s. Like, it's fantastic. I love it. It's elegant.
Like, I would watch it again right now. In the next movie we're about to talk to, like, I already
want to
watch it again.
We have to watch after The Thin Man too, because it's a sequel, but I would watch that again.
Well, the second Thin Man is New Year's, so it's like perfect. We'll probably watch it.
Can't wait.
New Year's is good to go with now.
We can pregame New Year's. Anyway.
I agree. Yeah. Hey, look, New Year's Eve.
We can have long New Year's Eve.
We believe in New Year's Eve dark ambient. Can also be listened to at this time. This, you know, it doesn't have to be right after Christmas. You know what I mean?
I do declare.
Just saying. So, yes, The Thin Man, we really loved. And that might be one we'll do, a whole episode on maybe next year. But different movie, because Thin Man's more noir mystery, but it is very funny.
It's the Thin Man, I found it to be absolutely hilarious. Yeah. It's noir and comedy.
Yeah. But the movie that we really, really loved as well is Remember the Night. And it is just
Barbara Stanwyck.
She is so incredible in it. And she plays like a petty thief. She steals more for just, you know, she gets
caught. She's a dame who's not on the up and up. She's looking for the easy way out.
She gets caught stealing a bracelet. And then, you know, and it's on
jewelry.
Right around, it might be Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas, but it is, I mean, it's a few days before Christmas, I think.
Yeah, it's during the Christmas season, because when she is at her trial after she is caught stealing the bracelet, they delay the trial until after Christmas, and then she has to figure out what she's going to do. The prosecutor feels guilty for getting her convicted or at least put into jail and then delaying the trial until after the holidays, so he takes pity on her, busts her out of jail, and says, come home with me.
Yeah, and that's Fred McMurray, who they also star together in Double Indemnity.
And Fred McMurray,
a great combo.
But it's a name that people don't really know, but he was a massive star.
Well, no, I mean, again, this and Double Indemnity, so they're just a great duo together, mm-hmm. Barbara Stanwyck and him. And
I'm just noting, darling, he was a massive star at this time, and people don't know his name.
And she's so funny in it, and again, it's a great story. Also, with so many movies, you always talk about the doubt part, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like the part of the movie where there's the 15 minutes of like,
oh God, is it miscommunication, gonna turn for them? The doubt. It's going to be bad.
This one does it in actually a very different way, mm-hmm. and it's not that like depressing 15 minutes of movies where it's like the miscommunication part.
Yeah,
it never really does that.
Yeah,
but it also doesn't necessarily. It ends very different than you expect it. Like when he brings her home to his mom and his aunt and his brother, like
in Indiana,
you think it's going to be some sort of like they hate her, but they don't.
They're super nice to
and
her.
Even when they find out that she is a criminal, it's not like they hate her. They're a little like, oh, you know,
sorry that you're a criminal.
Yeah.
They're very sweet about it.
But it also just, like I said, it does end in a way you don't expect.
Yeah.
In a great way. Yeah. That we were just like, I love this
movie. It's very humanizing. They treat her like a person. It's really great. Like, it's, I love it. And it's very touching, but also, yeah. Like, when you have Barbara Stanwyck, I mean, her delivery is so fun. And nothing feels like a slog fest, and it doesn't feel sappy or drippy. You know, it all zips by. It's funny, yeah. You know?
We really, really loved it. And again, maybe we'll do a full ep on that mm-hmm. at some point. But, you know, also watching other classics.
We can also just say, recommend.
Bishop's Wife.
The original.
So great.
Have never seen the one with Whitney Houston.
The Preacher. And Eddie Murphy, The Preacher's yeah, Wife.
The Preacher's Wife.
But we are just in the zone. And... yeah, 30s, 40s, 50s Christmas movies. That's up our alley. But you know what else, Underground Espionage listeners, is up our alley?
You know what really lubes up our alley?
Triple Xmas. The Passions of Carol.
Oh boy, The Passions of Carol.
So this is a great one, directed by Sean Costello of Pandora's Mirror. We've done an episode on. Water Power, which still, I have to assume, Mel, you've seen, there's, you know, every update, I'm always like, it's got to be the one with Water Power. It's got to be.
Everyone said every time, it's Water Power, gonna, right? It's Water Power, right?
I thought they were
going right?
to kick off Mel, you've seen yeah. Water. I assume it's inevitable, but hey, you know, they just did Behind the Green Door, so they're going to do the classics, and sometimes you got to like.
Been saying Water Power for a couple years yeah, now,
you,
though.
You got to, you got. What's that? Oh.
I said it's been a couple years that we've been like, it's happening.
Well, yeah, but I mean, hey. Nothing wrong with spacing it out. There's no rush. Just like I said, I was getting all panicky about what movies you do for the Christmas episodes. And I was like, wait a minute. We're going to be here next year and the year after and the year after. We don't need to slam it all in. Yeah. Like, you know, like Jamie Gillis slamming it in Kim Pope.
Well, how do you feel about the people who do Christmas in July? Like, I have mixed feelings about it.
It's not my favorite, I'll be honest. I know. And that's the thing. So as big a fans of the season
like
as where I...
tickles your balls about Christmas and then, you know.
But I do like doing long Christmas. I like doing November and December, so I do like to extend it. But July...
You don't want to surf in Santa or
July,
like
man,
that.
I want 4th of July. I want the summer. Like, I am not the... As you know, I mean, I won't watch anything with any sort of Christmas thing.
We're like, watching a series, he will turn it off if there's a Christmas theme in a show. He'll be like, wait, nope, can't watch that one now. No, yep. Thank you.
I kind of keep it at the end of the year, but I extended all of November. So I'm not saying I'm perfect, Tara. Actually, I'm saying
you know what I'm saying? I think I'm perfect. I'm saying... I'm perfect. All you people doing the Christmas in July need to wise up.
Hey, look, you know what?
And get with it.
Here's the thing, but I don't want to shut it down because I think anyone celebrating Christmas and
thing,
getting
right?
into it, if it's in July, if that's when you want to do it, go for it. So I don't want to shut it down yeah. either. You know what I mean? That's why I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, it depends on how they're celebrating.
Well, I mean,
if it's
okay.
with a cocktail, I'm in.
Look. We're about to have some nice cocktails.
I don't think peppermint in the summer.
We're
That's right.
Have some
we're
nice
going go to
go
to Musso tonight, and I'm so excited.
Which is, again, if our advice to people out there with significant others, sometimes getting that present stressful, you get nervous. What if they don't like it? What if he yeah. doesn't want this? What if she doesn't need this? One thing we did a long time ago was have that moment. We said, hey, you know what? No Christmas presents. We're not doing yeah. that. But what we will do is go out for a
yes,
great dinner.
But
and I find to me, I find that to be a much more, it's less stressful. Everyone enjoys it. You don't have to worry about it. And then you go out and have
but
some drinks.
I think
great
the difference
food.
Is it's old people shit. Like when we were younger and we needed stuff, we would go so hard. Our tree
this
would be
true.
Full of presents under it. But we needed shit. Like, I would get you socks, or we get stuff for the place, yeah. or we were still building.
But now we say just do
you know,
that whenever you need it.
Well, we get that whenever we need it as well. But what I'm saying is, you know, as we acquired so many things, as we lived in a one-bedroom apartment in Hollywood instead of a big house in the Midwest, your space is limited, and you don't need to be getting all this stuff, because where the hell are you going to put it?
Well, we... continue to get a lot of stuff. And in fact, I did.
I need to know where the hell I'm going to put my clothes. I've reached a point. Anybody got any suggestions?
I did almost
break
that rule though yesterday, because yesterday I was going. I saw it the other day and I meant to grab it and I didn't. And then I went back to go get it yesterday and it was already gone. I was going to get you, I mean, and us, but like a copy of Gilda Blu-ray, because I thought that'd be great for an episode. But then
Gilda, it sold. I would watch Gilda now. I feel like Gilda's kind of Christmas because she's sparkly.
It sold, but I mean, we can still get it. It's not like a rare thing, but I was going to get that for you and put it in your stocking for fun.
She's so charming.
But we digress, as we do on Underground Espionage. Go on a million tangents. Tara, The Passions of Carol.
Mary Holiday, a.k.a. Mary Stewart, in The Passions of Carol, 1975. The credits really will give you an idea of what you're in for, because this is not your average bit of pornography. It has a tone that is very serious.
Well, yeah, and you know, he did want to make something different. And in fact,
it has some heavy moments.
And Sean Costello's thought was that this was going to be like a crossover hit. You know, this was going to...
Yeah.
And this was going to be like a Deep Throat, where, you know, people go to see it. And it wasn't...
It. Yeah.
And you go to a regular theater and see it. In fact, he wanted it to open, and it might even open in like a regular theater.
Wow.
It was a massive failure when it came out. And we'll talk about why and what happened with it.
This is not a horny romp. It's a seriously horny time.
Yeah, I mean... You know, something like Through the Looking Glass, which we obviously just loved so much, and you can go back and listen to that episode if you haven't. It's one of our longest episodes. We just really, really, one of the greatest things that we discussed this year. This, I wouldn't necessarily say it has the same headiness and the same themes necessarily, but it's similar in that it's definitely not like it's not a Summer Camp Girls, it's not a Pretty Peaches. This one has more of it has a very serious tone. It has a great look to it,
but you would think that it would be playful, because it's like,
right, but
you
it's
go
not.
Going into it, that's what you think. There's even a scene where they're, you know, being children, and there's still not playful.
I would say that's the darkest scene. Well, I mean, there's a lot of dark scenes. That's
unusual.
A very dark scene.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
But even the theme, it's like the music is fantastic.
It's so great. Immediately you get Carol the Bells, great dark version of Carol the Bells.
But everything is like a dark version, a heavy, intense orchestral version of a Christmas song, and then just randomly the theme for Exorcist.
Yeah, so that's
the
what
tubular
bells
song. Yeah,
that's what the tubular bells. Yeah,
tubular bells.
That's what we're getting here, and the look of it is so unique and stands out from this era is because it was all filmed on a
soundstage,
and we'll get to part of what made this movie a disaster for not only making it but the release of it and all that. But it really does stay very true to the story.
So it's true to the story, but we have a Miss Scrooge. And Miss Scrooge runs Biva, B-I-V-A. You know, sounds like beaver. I think I missed that the first time. But
it's a men's, like a playgirl.
I miss people saying beaver all the time. So anyway, Biva Publications. It's like it's a playgirl style rag. And we have Bob Hatchett. Making the layouts of all the dicks for Miss Scrooge.
And Tara, who is Bob Hatchett played by?
The one and only Jamie Gillis.
In a role that is very different for him, and he was very excited to be playing a nice guy in the movie, not a creep. And him and Sean were great friends and everything, and they came up with the idea that he would play the
Bob Hatchett.
Softer, nicer, and what will be by far the most romantic scene in the movie, and possibly the most romantic scene in Jamie Gillis' career.
It's so sweet and romantic with his wife,
Kim Pope. So, we got Bob Hatchett, going to be working on Christmas Eve, going to be working overnight.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, she's really upset with the layout that he gave her. Like, how dare Bob Hatchett give her a layout where these cocks are just limping all over the place, an impotent layout, as she describes it, limp dicks. She needs the cocks as big and hard as the Washington Monument, and she needs it tonight, even though it's Christmas Eve, Mike. Reasonable.
She sure does, but she's got to see one of the newest Beaver models.
The Beaver Boy of the Month.
In person.
Is he a new Beaver Boy of the Month?
Well, I'll tell you what. He was in the movie Predator.
That's so funny.
Sonny Landham. Yeah, so he...
He is remarkable.
He's the guy who cuts himself in, the, you know, like on the bridge in Predator, Sonny Landham. So
that's cool.
He was in, and he's in 48 Hours. Yeah. He ended up going into you know, mainstream movies. But here...
This dude has riz. I can see why he would. He's dressed in like white denim in the manner of Elvis. He's wearing like gold sunglasses and open, you know, tight white denim shirt with, you know, his like nuts pinched against his leg and tight white denim. I mean, like, the guy's great. He's looking good. He's got hair covering his body. He's muy macho, wouldn't you say, Mike?
Oh yeah, and he takes on Carol Scrooge and her assistant, who it was
I think Holly was her assistant, or maybe Holly.
No, Holly was
the
maid. I can't remember her assistant's name offhand, even though we literally just watched it. But
forget it.
She was actually famous in another line of work. She did stuff like dinner shows in the Catskills, or I can't. Yeah. He described it in the commentary, and I kind of had an idea what he meant. Like it wasn't like sex. It wasn't even burlesque stuff.
Yeah, just
it was
like
something totally different.
Numbers.
And I guess he said like someone saw the movie one time. He's like, oh my god, that's so and so who like did this or whatever. You
that's
know?
Great.
So, but I mean, hey man, she gives it her all here, and they have a nice.
Well, they have to try it. They have to make sure it works, you know?
They
They're
nice,
like, does it work as good as it looks? And he said, it's never let me down, mama.
That's right. And they have a nice angels triangle here. And it's in. So this scene is one of the only scenes not filmed on the soundstage. It's in an office. And even that mirrored little section of the room is in an office.
Well, the disco ball mirrored wall, like, if we owned a home right now, we would have one. And I was already
fantastic.
Looking around, like, where can
How
I
can we
put a disc? I can get those little mirrors. I could do a wall.
Yeah.
Here, but our walls aren't very flat. This building is old, and it's wet plaster, and I just don't think the walls are flat enough. You would really see the curvature.
The contour. But inner cut with this angel's triangle is a great scene where Jamie Gillis's Bob Hatchett is working on the layout, but it's this like really dark. He's in a dark room with just one light, and it just has this great atmosphere of like him being lonely on Christmas Eve, and Kim calls and wants him to come home. And he's like,
and he's
hey,
just sitting in the dark.
Merry Christmas.
Touching up dicks. Yeah. Trying to make him look harder and bigger.
Which I don't know how exactly.
I don't know.
Do
he has a little pen and there's some spray paint next to him. But I think it is continued through the rest of this film where they were really going for an intense look.
Yes.
A cinematic feel.
Absolutely.
They're going for, you know, camera angles. And yeah, of course, it does show that they were on a soundstage because, you know, the whole background is blacked out and it's like the spotlight in a lonely room. And you can tell that they were going for things. And I think that's also adds to the strangeness factor of watching this. So, you know, we talk about like the jerk off factor of, you know, the pornography that we watch. And this has a pretty high jerk-off factor, but you got to be a little bit of a weirdo to want this as your flavor.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Because there's a lot of kind of, you know, a lot of inward contemplation.
Yeah, because
your cock's not going to be hard the entire time.
This is definitely more about the story in a great way.
Yeah.
In a great way.
Yeah.
Like, again, you know, we love framing
stories. Why can't
you
have a good story with fucking?
We love framing stories in the world of pornography, but... Of course, as we all know, the story of A Christmas Carol, she's going to go home, old Carol Scrooge, and, you know, she's just not...
Doesn't smile at all, and they really go for that.
Holly, the maid, you know, wants the night off to go to the big Christmas show, and she's like...
With her boyfriend.
If I hear the word Christmas one more time, you know, just Scrooging it up, Tara. Scrooging
it up. She says, Look, you cheap little tart. If you want to perversely copulate with your boyfriend, then do it on your own time.
Yeah. And now we're in the world of the stage for pretty much the rest of the movie. And
I'm so sad Holly the Maid's so cute.
I would have liked to have seen a scene with her, yeah.
I love Holly the Maid.
She's adorable. I felt that was a little blue balls that we didn't get a scene.
I know. You get to see her, like, kiss her boyfriend.
Yeah. But now we're in the world of the stage and, you know, in Carol Screech's bedroom, which looks amazing, green and red. I love the bedroom. And then outside in the window, you have the fabricated skyline of New York, which is great. You know, this is why this Snowy movie is ledge. So great, because it looks so strange, because it's built sets, the ivory flake snow.
Yeah.
And I love that world that it creates. And being on a stage is what makes it so unique and stand out. But it's also what made this movie so difficult.
A nightmare.
To make. So
they had to do a full build out.
So a number of Sean's movies were funded by this Greek crew. And especially this one guy, Teddy, always refers to. And, you know, one of the reasons they like Sean is he could deliver a movie in you know, good time, under budget. And, you know, it would sell and people liked it. Actually, you see in later in the movie when you see a marquee with the Love Bus. That was the movie of Sean's that came out before this movie. So he told them that he would have this movie done in 4 days.
Huh.
He had never done stage stuff. He never built any sets.
Yeah.
He in no way considered what that was going to, how long that was going to take and what that was going to cost. So 4 days turned into 14 days, so came in way over budget, even from renting the studio, building. Wow. And basically what they were doing is people were building the entire time. They're filming, building, filming, moving things, taking down, having to, like, extend the rental, like, try to get deals in there. So they came in not only late, not only over budget, but then it missed the Christmas premiere, because his whole idea was that they were gonna take over this theater, this porn theater, and make it like super Christmassy. They were gonna, you know, he said it was gonna make the whole theater look like a Christmas tree. It was gonna be this big premiere.
Yeah,
and that was his idea. He's like, this is gonna be like the biggest porn movie since Deep Throat.
Yeah.
Instead, it came out like in March, and so it was just like he said it was just a total failure. I mean, some people liked it. Screw Magazine gave it great reviews, but, like, overall, it was just total failure. Totally, like...
Yeah, they're like, what are we going to do with this?
Yes,
yeah.
Totally lost money. And he did end up working with the Greeks a few other times.
Should have started in September.
He did. But then the editing took a long time because he really wanted to take time with the editing.
Oh, that sucks.
They really edited it to music, especially after it goes.
Yeah.
Everything just ended up taking much longer than he anticipated, and it just, you know, got lost in time. But obviously, thanks to the people at Melusine, now we have this great restoration, this great set where we can enjoy it and think about how, oh, this must have been huge at the time.
Yeah. But, oh, clearly this was huge. Yeah.
I would also say, I mean, I do think, and I do love this movie, but I do think Mary Holiday is a strange, I mean, I guess they do want to make sort of a unfriendly looking woman be Scrooge, but it is, she is very unfriendly looking.
Yeah, but she's pointy.
I mean, it works. She's very pointy.
No, but that's the thing is, like, but also, like, I guess, you know, if we're really going to be judgy about it, we're going to put on our judgy hats. Like, do people want to see Scrooge fucking? So then you have Mary Holiday. You get her to have, like, non-smiling. But it's not like she's an icy, frigid bitch, you know? Like, she's not like some, like, classy woman in furs who won't give anybody the time of day. She still, like, doesn't wear any makeup. She has short hair, you know? She's very pointy. Her hip bones,
I mean, again,
out.
I think it works for it
Her tits are weird. But it's like, it's fine. You can work with it, you know.
But I mean, I think as watching the movie, like, the way we watch it, it works. But I maybe imagine back then it might have been sort of like,
I can't really get hard to
this. I mean, Kim Pope, I think, is by far the hottest chick in the movie.
Yeah.
But I don't think she would have worked as Scrooge.
I think
she's too sweet.
But, God, why can't I think of names right now? She has fluffy nips. Candy Barber.
Oh, Candy Barber.
So Candy Barber, I did it. But if Candy Barber was like in a fur coat and wearing heels and didn't smile and ordered people around.
Or even like Veronica Hart.
Veronica Hart. Oh my,
she might not have been working at this time. Veronica, obviously, she does work with Sean.
Veronica
later.
Hart would have sold this so hard.
Yeah.
Oh, she would have been fantastic
in
this.
Yeah.
And you know, but I'm not trying to like.
No, look,
you
we're
know.
Just, we're
be,
just discussing the movie.
Not,
you, don't, you know what? I don't
pick,
think Mary Holiday is.
I don't want to pick Mary Holiday or Mary Stewart apart because I appreciate her. It's just. You know, it's a lot.
No, I love this scene when we get Marley, because this is when we start getting the strangeness of the movie. He's appearing, disappearing. The light looks so great. And, you know, he comes in the room to let her know that she's going to be visited. But
it's just so wild because he comes in. He's like,
it's so good.
And it's long. And it's a long scene. And it's like there's smoke coming out of him. And you're like, and you're like, what is this guy?
The lighting's so great. But I love that he's like, you know what death is? Death is a never ending. is like an eternal wet dream where you never get off.
Yeah.
You never come.
You never
and he's
come.
Like, so he's like, come on, baby. How about, no one gives good blowjobs in heaven.
Yeah, death is an ever-endless wet dream when you wake up before you come. And the whole time, like, this guy, his delivery makes me think he's like an improv actor. He seems like a comedian or an improv actor.
Tara, that's funny you say that. He is not, and in fact, he...
Was he a weed dealer?
He was just a friend of Sean's. He's you know, he was in porn, Mark Stevens. He was deathly... nervous about having to do lines, and in fact he came to Sean crying saying he couldn't actually do lines.
Oh, this poor guy.
Because he said because this movie everything is very scripted. He said a lot of times in his movies he gives the outline but lets the people do what they want. Every line in this movie is written.
Yeah, because they're also doing like straight up Dickens.
And he said that Mark Stevens was totally terrified and didn't want to do it because he didn't think he could. But I think he's great. I think he's hilarious.
He delivered the lines and he fucked.
No one gives good blowjobs in heaven.
No one gives good blowjobs.
And if that's true, you know what? We ain't going to heaven.
But it's not heaven, Mike. He's in chains. He went to the bad place.
Yeah, I mean,
or maybe that's like they told him it was heaven, but it's hell because nobody gives good blowjobs there. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Sounds like a bad place to be for a
but it is like this, and again, it adds to the strangeness of what this is because you don't expect a guy who's got spray painted white hair and like old man makeup and a bunch of chains to be like, "Yeah, you want to fuck?" You know
what
I mean?
They do.
They do, and I will say this. Blowjob, like that he was saying it's gonna be like deep throat, like this is a blowjob centered film, like
definitely, yeah,
like there's some beaver munching. You get
he
that.
Does Marley does
he do
Marley gets down on that,
but a lot, like a lot of blowjobs,
yeah
blowjob
absolutely
heavy.
Yeah, it's nice
and blowjob heavy.
And they're all quite skilled, and it's never a bad thing to see.
And you know what I was thinking, like, Mike, when I was watching this? Because she has those wonderful red satin sheets in the other scene. He does clean up. He takes his chains off. Should we get red satin sheets instead of black satin?
Look, if you listen to last episode, you know our satin sheet plot line.
The other sheets went back that were red roses. I sent them back, and now we just have black satin, but I was, you know, I'm looking for a second, you know, set of sheets. So I'm thinking they're going to be satin, but I was debating on floral satin, black satin, but now I'm throwing red into the mix.
Hey, I like it. I like her red satin sheets. And, you know, Tara, I think it's something we should
red and
consider.
Hot pink?
Well,
let's see. Well, anyway, red satin sheets, green walls, very, very, very appropriate. They have a scene together, and then she rubs his cum into her like a lotion.
That's right, because it is
and
good
like
for the skin.
A lotion. It's a good look, but it's just not something that you do in life. I mean, do people do that?
I mean...
I've never been like, it's a luxurious lotion. Let me cover my entire body with it. Just
well,
rubbing it in everywhere.
Right,
I mean, she
right.
really rubs it in over her entire torso. Like, that shit's going to be so hard to watch. She's going to be crusty for a bit. Like, she's going to take a shower and it's going to, like, be stuck everywhere.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then she's going to have a little crusty stuff all over her forever.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying, Mike.
Yeah,
I'm right.
I mean,
you know, I'm right. It's not practical.
Yeah, I was trying to think back if
you're like, have I ever seen this?
You just kind of let
people don't do that. People don't rub it all over themselves like it's body oil.
Right. Yeah. You just sort of like
you may rub body oil or lube on yourself just to get it out of the way. Like, oh, my hands are oily. So you rub it on your leg or something. But you don't take a big glob of jizz and just really, you know, rub it everywhere. I don't know. Do you? Listeners, dear listeners, is that a thing? Do you do it? How do you get it off?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I guess you could try.
Nope. Not doing it. Might be, you know, a thing. Not a thing. It doesn't happen. It looks good on camera. I agree.
It does look good on camera.
I agree with old Mary Holiday on that. It does look good on camera. Yeah. But it's a wild move. It's a wild move. If I saw somebody do it in real life and not in front of a camera, I'd be like, whoa, what are you up to, weirdo?
Be pretty into it.
Well,
I'm not opposed to it.
The ghost of the Christmas past then comes through after the jizz. And
he's great. He's the cover star here. Yeah.
He's also a friend.
Yeah, and he's great. And his delivery is they said to deliver it like an old Roman, old timey, or like Roman soldier.
Orator?
Or something. Yeah, yeah,
orator,
and he kind of does. And he does.
He really does. He does. He seems like he's delivered a line before because he's like doing it properly. Again, he's backlit, he's got fog, he's coming out of the abyss. Really, that first shot is fantastic. And he looks really handsome in that first shot. And then they kind of did him a little dirty with the chin. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're going to remind people to have a chin, and his chin was down a little bit. So I feel like they could have helped him out and been like, pop that chin up, my guy.
And that's why everyone should always have you behind the lens.
No, but I think we all need to have each other's backs.
But you're just really good at it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. But I just mean as people who now everyone has a phone in their pocket and we're always taking pictures of each other. If you look at your screen and you're about to take a picture of your friend and they have they look like they have a double chin, or they look like they have no chin, or they're making a weird face or something, just give a heads up. Just be like, hey, chin up, baby. Like, you know, chin down. Turn your head 3/4. Just, you know, you want a jawline. You know, just
you
to
always,
help them out.
You always, always.
Because, like, we need to have each other's backs because some people are really good at getting their picture made, but most of us are not.
So this is when we're, like, in the smoke and the stars, and I love the way this looks. And
yeah, just strings of Christmas lights
and just moving
in the
along
abyss.
And just moving around in the smoke. And of course, this is the ghost of Christmas past. So we need to go into the past. And this
surely you take American Express.
Oh,
the
American
Diners
Express.
Club. Do you take Diners
ghost,
Club?
Which is Sean Costello.
Surely you take Diners Club.
That is the director. So at first, you get to see someone wandering eternity who was a crooked businessman and only cared about that and only cared about his credit cards.
And
the
he's
first thing
wearing a giant credit card. It's so avant-garde. It's so weird. Again, it's that thing where you're like, if you are watching this and you have your dick out, you'd be like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. Like if you're at a theater, an X-rated theater, and your dick is out, you'd be like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do on this part. You know what I mean? Just kind of wait. Do you put your dick back in, zip it up, and wait for something else to happen? You know what I mean? Do you just... Your bucket of popcorn with the hole in the bottom. Like, what do you just stick it back in the bucket of popcorn with the hole in the bottom? Like, you know what I mean, Mike?
No, totally. Yeah,
It's one of those. It's one of those type of scenes. And then
I was gonna say, but then it's not gonna get too much better for you because you're gonna get a very great but twisted scene from the past.
And again, it's one of those things that, like, I feel like in the 70s. Like, somehow adults would dress in jammies and pretend to be children sometimes. You know what I mean? I'm thinking about, even though he was supposed to be a child, but he was, like, so stupidly, like, Mork from Ork would do it. Or, like, when Lily Tomlin played a child for comedic effect.
Right.
Or, like, Barbara Streisand and Funny Lady being the, I'm just a baby.
Right.
Like, that
yeah,
type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, this whole mentality. I feel like it happened a lot. Maybe on, like, Hee Haw and shit. But it is in a blowjob situation. It is weird,
but it's so we go back to her past, and yeah, she's in like a onesie, and she's with
it's a cute onesie too.
Yeah,
she looks good.
I would say this is yes.
She
I would say
the best.
Yes, and then they're with another guy and a girl, and again they're like kids, and they're in this playroom that in the background has a Raggedy Ann and Andy pornographic drawing where he's putting
a couple of them
in it. So.
And it's a really great drawing made with, like, highlighters, so it's,
well,
because
the set designer and the artist was someone who did art for kids' books.
Shut
and
up.
Then and then did, because he's friends with Sean, and did this.
They're really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like crosshatch gingham with a pink highlighter and then an ink drawing, and then it's made with like other crosshatching like highlighters. Yeah. For tech. And they're pretty brilliantly done.
So you have that in the background. There's a couple focusing in on those.
And, toys.
And what's great too is they're doing it with Carol of the Bells. And then there's a doll in the scene, which ends up getting used because the one girl pulls off the arm and sticks it up. Yeah. Carol Scrooge.
Well, let me just set the scene. Like, it starts out with like, and they're doing the like adults with kids voices.
Yeah, you're like,
you can only play with my dolly if you kiss me all over.
Yeah,
I'll take off my jammies. Yeah. And she says jammies. Do it nice, Barbie. Do it right. Put Billy's pee-pee in your mouth.
Yeah.
And it's like, ugh.
Yeah, it's very, I mean,
I
again,
like
it's,
the
you
word
know,
pee-pee.
No. But I mean, it is great. It is a great, again, for our purposes, for the way we watch some of these old porn, it's great. You know what I mean?
It's
like, but like you said, I can't imagine someone just going to see this.
And just being they're like, I guess I'll jerk off to this because it's a blowjob with two chicks. And I don't. Like, cause
abusing that head,
and they abuse the shit. Everybody must have like a mushroom cap of steel because they abuse the shit. Like that whole like the meme of like you nut and she keeps sucking. Like nothing compared to this. Like they're like, can you just keep sucking maybe instead of just continually like rubbing the top of it and biting and licking it? Wow, wow.
Yowza.
Oh. Maybe that's why Jamie Gillis's toes curled up that one time.
But so that's how the scene starts. And then it does cut back to the Carol of the Bells. And he said he did cut, you edited these scenes to the music.
Yeah.
And it's really great.
Oh, you can tell he does.
Because it cuts to the Raggedy Ann.
The music's so
cuts
perfect.
To this. But then the great part of the scene is when the other girl has the doll arm up. Carol Scrooge, and it looks so, just, I mean, we
it
love it.
Great. Yeah, she got the arm coming out of her.
But again, like, what was anyone thinking when they went and saw
all
this?
All the way in, and there's like a little hand.
It looks great.
Yeah, it's just,
I mean, it's great and twisted. We love it.
You just don't expect it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean it's bad. It's just,
no.
You know.
No. It's, if again, for our purposes, for the way we watch these movies, it's great.
And again, like, very little. Even, you know, like in the 70s, people didn't always have fingernail polish or fake fingernails or, you know, the same amount of makeup. But there's so very little makeup in this. Like, there's not much, like, eyeshadow. There's no fake lashes. There's no one's hair is done. Like, it's
that's true, except we're coming up on someone who does. So I'm just leading you up to... There is going to be some fingernail polish. There will be some makeup, and there will be some nice hair.
But then it's also like, you know what, when she asks the ghost of Christmas Past, like, what happened to those two? Like, where'd they end up? He says, they were married, and she bore him three fine sons, and they were happy.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. I love that.
She bore him three fine sons. Ah, isn't that the dream?
But Tara, we are coming to the ghost of Christmas Present. A very... flamboyant ghost of Christmas Present.
Yeah, the ghost of Christmas Present is wearing a giant green afro wig, and there are many afro wigs in this film.
Yeah.
There's at least two. There's a yellow one and a green one, yes. But I think there was one early. Anyway, and then a big, like, green caftan robe with holly. And he's very sassy. And
he's like,
you know,
I'm the now. I'm it. I'm what's happening, baby.
It's so good.
Apparently later in life, he murdered somebody in a wild S&M type situation. Yeah, yeah. I meant
really?
To look it up.
I mean,
it's in the commentary.
It seems like when he was talking about going to bathhouses, he probably did go to bathhouses.
But he was
that type of, like, you know, he reminds me of somebody like, and Kentucky, that would be the MC of a drag show.
Oh, totally. But that's one of the funny scenes where he's like, oh, reminds me of the bathhouses. And Carol Scrooge says, the Continental bathhouses? Oh, so tacky. Ooh. I'm talking about the original bathhouses in Rome.
In
Brutus.
Rome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, over the top, ridiculous, super funny, super strange.
It's great.
But this is when we get the most romantic, the sweetest sex scene. Probably the sweetest sex scene that we have watched all year, Tara. I'm dare I
would
say
so. You don't really see, like, a loving, sweet husband wife. It's probably a niche porn that is out there of like a husband wife loving hand holding kissing porn type deal.
But
that's what you get here.
But it's Jamie Gillis.
But it's Jamie Gillis.
So you turn that on here, do you get an unexpected Jamie Gillis? Kim Pope is cute as can be.
Kim Pope, she's... they're wholesome. They're wearing sweaters. She has brown fingernails, and they look so nice.
And she looks so great. She, of course, is in Through the Looking Glass. I mentioned in that episode, I'm excited to watch Farewell Scarlet with you because her character in that is amazing, and she's got this incredible scene in that. But she's so great in this, and I just do love that Jamie was excited to, like, not be a creep.
Yeah.
But then because
and he does such a good
because
job.
Because you think of him that way, the whole time you're waiting for it to turn.
You're waiting for, like, slap her or
but
something.
It's so great that he's just, like, no, it, he's the so... whole time, like, she's blowing him, and she, like, at one point, she kind of, like, looks up at him and is like, I love you. And, it's like, and you're
yeah. Like, and then afterwards, he's like, Merry Christmas.
Like, Tara and I were totally, like, looking at each other, like, aw. Like, it's like.
They, like, intertwine their fingers.
While she's blowing
but,
him.
But, like, right before it, too. You know, she's like, I got you a present. And he's like, oh, this looks expensive. And she was like, well, I saved my grocery allowance.
It's so good.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
So it is really a – this is – this. See, now this
he's
scene –
he's wearing a purple sweater.
Yeah, this scene for sure would be the scene, like, if I was in the 70s in the theater. Yeah. Like, okay, I can work with this.
You can work with this. Yeah, I mean, Kim's bush goes coast to coast on this one.
I mean,
you
look,
know what
you
I mean?
Know, yeah, but it's she's so great. She's so
around the world and coast to coast. I got no problem with it. I like mean, I don't. It's just like
look.
I just you don't expect to see it sometimes.
Yeah,
like
but,
you forget that that's how it goes in. I mean, I got my laser device, so it don't ain't no coast.
Yeah.
It's not even an island here. We're blasted off into space a long time ago. You know what I mean? So. I just the coast to coast.
Look, I'm able. I look past it, and yeah. She's so great in it. I love. At one point, there's like tinsel on his cock.
Yeah, there's like a piece
and again,
of
it's one thing they didn't
on
notice
cock.
Until like on the commentary they're watching it, and he's like, "I never seen it in such you know high definition. Like, I never noticed that little piece of tinsel on his cock."
He's like, "Oh wow, I never noticed Jamie had tinsel on his cock. That's so festive. Hey, but you know that's a happy little accident." And they're like laying on a rug
in front of the Christmas tree.
In front of the Christmas tree.
It's amazing.
So nice.
And when he blasts and she's just like, Merry Christmas. I love you. Look, we were,
I
you know what?
I
Tara
love
and I
it.
Were, we were touched and we were moved by this
oh,
scene.
Oh, I'm so nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah, my
scene.
Popcorn would have a whole new butter on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Much better than rubbing it in. You know what I mean? Use it as a popcorn
that
topping. That it's sounds
not
much better.
I understand the rubbing it in.
You are correct, Tara.
Maybe it's like a weird water jizz.
Hey, look. I think popcorn. It sounds like it might go better.
It might
popcorn.
Go better with popcorn. Well,
great. But hey, but still, she's like, why are they so? Why are they
she's
so
like,
loving?
I've been terrible to them,
yeah,
and
they
don't
no
hate me, and they have no money. What's going on? So then we get the Ghost of the Christmas Future, and this is great because they ride around on the dolly, you know, on the, they're on a, I think that's
yeah,
what
yeah, it is. It is, and that dolly. Is what, you are correct.
Is that what it's called? Yes. I don't know the lingo.
And that is what they're doing. And Sean Costello is the Ghost of Christmas Future and is great in the cloak. Mm-hmm. You don't see the face, the smoke coming
and
out.
But it's, again, an avant-garde, abstract moment with darkness. It's bleak. There's smoke. And you would not be like, oh, I want to fuck to this. You know what I mean? Like, if you were trying to fuck to this, there would be moments where you're like, I'm looking at.
Well, and especially this final scene is supposed to be dark. It's not supposed to be sexy. It's actually supposed to be quite ugly.
It's supposed to be grim and ugly.
And again, even in the commentary, he's like, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. He's like, what would somebody, again, kind of
like
what you and
I
were saying.
Did I, but
like,
yes.
Like someone in the theater. So the Ghost of Christmas Future. We're in New York. We're around all the porn theaters. The music's incredible, and we see a streetwalker with a bright yellow afro. Who, Tara? Who could that be?
I don't know. She looks hard.
She looks
harsh.
Mean. She looks run down. She looks rammed through.
She looks run through, just like me. Apparently, both of my ankles.
And someone on the street comes, picks her up, brings her to a seedy motel, which is actually this part is not on the soundstage. This is actually like a motel that you would take hookers mm-hmm. to. And Sean Costello said he had done that, and he wanted it to be like what it's like. And he's like, it was. This is what it's like. They make you wash your dick. They blow you. They put a condom on you, and it's like total, like clinical.
It's a thing.
You know? And
you walk up, you get your dick washed.
It is definitely
blow you,
a pretty
you put a condom on you.
Grim
and then you
scene.
Hurry up.
It is a grim scene, and even having the condom on. I mean, back. You know, there was a time, especially after like the one of the AIDS scares in porn, and a few companies would do condoms,
yeah,
but it's very rare. They did it in the 90s a little bit.
Yeah, I remember seeing
it
because they were, you know, they were working for big condoms.
But you certainly don't do it in the 70s, and it does look like so unappealing.
It looks really baggy and weird.
Yeah, it's just nasty, and it is like definitely like it is supposed to be like her bad future, so it's not supposed to be hot. She looks, she's got like bags on her eyes. She has this wig on.
I liked her makeup though. I know it's supposed to be a sloppy makeup. I think she looks the hottest here. Even though with the weird bags under her eyes, I think the hairstyle worked better for her. It softened her face. She needs.
See, I disagree.
And I think that the makeup, if we cleaned it up a bit, I can just see the potential.
I mean, you know, hey, Tara, you know what? I like that about you.
You know what? Hey, here's the thing. I like makeup. Did you know that?
Well, yeah.
Everybody. I like Kelly Bundy. I like Peg Bundy. I like Miss Piggy. You know, I like when you put, you know,
Elvira.
I like cartoonish amounts of makeup. Dolly Parton.
Yeah,
like all of these things, consistent. Love it. Tammy Faye Baker level makeup. I love it. I don't care. I think it's wonderful. This clean girl aesthetic is like, but you know what? I think it's, this is my thing. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go off on a tangent because we're almost through here. I think it's bullshit with all this like woke up, like clean girl aesthetic, like all of these things where people are doing all this shit, pretending like they're not wearing makeup and they're wearing makeup, or they get all these like laser treatments and facials and fillers and other things. So they're like, I don't wear any makeup. It's like, you're not wearing any makeup, but you had like all this other shit done and you're acting like it's just totally natural and that's what you look like. It's not what you look like. You did a bunch of shit to look like that. You know what I mean? So I think it's dishonest to be like, I'm not wearing any makeup. Look at this. When you have like lash extensions and you had your eyebrows microbladed and you had chemical peels and you have facial filler and you have Botox, and then you're like, I'm natural.
No, totally. And just to like,
I like no judgment, but it's like, you're not natural.
And look, I'll throw a judgment in there though, that like, we're like, very anti-modern Pamela Anderson, you know, yeah. Love 90s Pam, love barbed wire, but the modern, like, I don't do that anymore.
Congratulate
like,
me.
Yeah,
because
great.
Because I just went somewhere without like, makeup on. Like,
get out of here.
What do you want, an award? Apparently, yeah. Everybody wants to give her an award. They're like, she deserves an award. Like, all she did was not wear fucking makeup.
Yeah.
Like, jeez.
Snore.
So
fest.
Brave. Like, is it?
Snore.
Is it brave?
Snore. I am asleep.
It's the most dreary thing to congratulate somebody on.
Bullshit.
It's just like, you can choose to not wear makeup or you can choose to wear makeup. Why are we like...
Yeah, do whatever you want. I don't care.
Do whatever the
but
fuck
stop
you
acting
want.
Like it, stop being performative.
It's a brave actress.
Yeah, ooh, ooh, so brave. So brave.
Ooh, I'm going to give her a Woman of the Year award. She's... Oh, the aesthetics. Now young girls won't be convinced that they're heinously ugly because they see mascara every day.
Yeah.
So stupid. Anyway,
thumbs down.
But I do like, I just think it's nice, like a lot of glitter. I think it's fun.
Look,
but
I don't,
people don't wear it, I don't care
about
either.
Us.
If
they
people don't wear
like
it,
that.
I don't give a shit. Don't wear makeup.
You were looking at a picture of Peyton Presley before this started. We love big fake tits.
Yeah.
But we love makeup. We love over the topness.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I like no tits.
Sure.
I like all of it.
Look, everything can be exciting if, you know,
you frame it right. You got a good context. If you're horny enough, everything can be great.
You know what? If anyone takes anything from Underground Espionage, this first year of Underground Espionage, Tara, I think that quote is the quote that people need to.
If you're horny enough, you can make anything work. Everything can be great.
I totally agree.
I can find a way to appreciate it, but that's
not modern Pam Anderson.
But again, well, not my.
Yeah, she's. There's no hope.
But yeah, I just aesthetically think it's fun and I like it and I enjoy the play of it and that's fine. And I don't judge people that don't like it or don't want to do it.
Oh, I mean, look, they're good old Tara, just you know, not judging after your creed of your screed of.
Well,
of
I judge Pam Anderson. I judge people who I just, well, I judge. Look, I judge. Okay, I judge. I apologize. I was wrong.
Give me that.
I do judge.
Get that apology.
I do judge, but I wanted to feel like I wasn't being a bad
right.
person.
Right. You wanted to like.
I wanted
you were
to
like,
make myself feel better, so I don't wake up at 3 a.m. being like, "Was I being too judgy?"
Look.
What
you
if
were
people
not
are
there.
Like, "I woke up like this for real"?
They wouldn't. They probably wouldn't be performative.
I love in 50s movies how people woke up because they woke up in a full face of makeup.
Right. Yeah.
No, that's my way to wake up. You know, it's
like
great.
It. Like in Cincinnati, like when Jeannie, she wakes up all hungover.
Like when Jeannie would wake up in the bottle and she'd be like, you know, have like a kind of more casual ponytail, but still like all the lashes and like less eyeshadow, but still a bunch of eyeshadow and like hot pink lipstick.
I am a fan. Well, of course, Carol Scrooge here is horrified by her future. And she wants to know, can it be changed? Can the change of path make the end?
She doesn't want to be different. A street walker doing it for $20 and slurping all over the place and for guys to have a dark jerk off session and then scream, you know, honey, you're a rotten fuck.
Tara, do you think she learned her lesson?
I do.
She does because she wakes up.
Oh, it's so nice.
She wakes up. And
what day is it? Was it 3 days? Was it one day?
She goes out on the balcony
with the experimental camera angle where it's under her and the sky is just blue above her and it's snowing.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Ivory flakes. Merry Christmas, everyone. Flakes. As you heard the sample that we did play, and that is how the movie.
And she's smiling ends. Like for the first time in the movie. It's great, and it's just such a sweet and happy ending. Well, did they have any comments on the happy ending?
I mean, he it's funny because Sean wishes he would have not made a he didn't actually like the way it ended, but Joe Rubin, who's Mel Yussin Vinegar Syndrome mm-hmm. guy who does the moderating the commentary, he's like, no, I love it. It's so great because it's just like the original thing. And because it's so ridiculous
ending, yes.
after, and it's so exaggerated,
yes.
and especially after the darkness of a lot of the different things, it totally works. And
I kind of hope that she was going to go like, bring Bob Hatchett like a picture with a big cock on it and be like, you don't have to work. And then they could have like a three-way or something with little, with Kim little Pope, Kim.
Tiny Kim.
With little Kim. Tiny Kim.
Tiny Kim.
Lil' Kim.
But yeah, look, this is this era of porn films, you know, a lot of the ones you discussed this year, you know, Roommates, Through the Looking Glass, this, it's, you know, even Pandora's Mirror, you know, they're coming from these, this world where you're going to have the sex in it, but you're basically free to do anything else within that because mm-hmm. The idea is that people are just going to go to the porn theater no matter what. They're not looking at the reviews. But as the years go on, as the decades go on, we approach these and are able to look at these movies in such a different way and just love and appreciate the vision, the low budgetness, and the shooting for something else, but having to fit it in the world of pornography. We mm-hmm. just we can't get enough of it. Yeah. We love it. And it's been, you know, so much fun really focusing on a lot of these movies this year. Of course, we got tons more to come. I didn't even mean to do that.
And then watching it and seeing the things that these people create together, and then, you know, another Judgy McJudgerson thing that we frequently discuss, Mike, which usually I bring up, is the actors being like, I don't want to kiss. I think kissing is over in movies. It's just so invasive. And like Lily Sobieski saying in an interview that she stopped being actress because they were all obsessed with making her kiss people and she didn't want to have to sell her kisses and like, why do they all want to kiss? And I'm just like, jeez. That's so such a drag.
Just like snoozing.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're like sticking dolls' arms.
Yeah.
Mary, and she's like, that's fine. You know what I mean? It's like, but just saying, like, I just felt so drained having to kiss someone else. And just like, I don't know,
you wonder why we don't watch modern movies. You wonder why.
No.
Not that we've watched anything that came out this year, but according to people who do go check out things, this is the worst year for movies possibly ever. Yeah. And I'm going along with that.
I'm going to see any kissing. Not going to see any good fuck scenes.
You're just going to see a bunch of bullshit.
You're going to see a bunch of people. What are they, shaking hands? Or the actor's next going to be like, I don't like that you have to make me put on hair and makeup because I think it's dishonest and you make me look like a different person. And I just resent you making me pretend to be someone else. I don't want to have to pretend to be someone else. I'm an actor, not a person who pretends to be someone else. I want to look like myself.
Exactly. So that's why we look back to the past. We look to the underground. We look to the world of pornography. We look to the world of shot on video. We look back to the 30s. We look back to the 40s here. And that is the world we live in. But like I said, this is not the last Christmas episode for Underground Espionage. We got one more. And we're very excited for it. And we are going to be doing an episode on The Signal Man, the ghost story for Christmas, one of Tara's most referenced films. Short, you know, it's about an hour, but, you know, I still consider it a movie. And what's great, coincidentally,
we love ghost stories for our brother
Gray. I was hanging with him last night, and he said, me and a friend are going to see some old 70s stuff on Sunday. I think you guys would probably like it. And I'm like, what are you going to see? And he's like, it's The Signal Man. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, talk about Tara's, it constantly.
Oh, one of Tara's favorite movies. And I think they're playing a couple of the other ghost stories for Christmas. Warning to the Curious, which we love.
Oh, I love Warning.
We love all the ghost stories for Christmas. Yeah. The BBC things, movies, shorter films, generally about an hour, that were aired on Christmas Eve. They don't necessarily have anything to do with Christmas directly, but they were aired on Christmas
Eve. But I love the tradition of a ghost story of Christmas, just like Charles Dickens.
And so we will be doing The Signal Man, our favorite of the ghost story for Christmases. And that will be, we will be doing, that'll either be coming out on Christmas Eve or on Christmas. We're going to get that out quicker and to make sure it is out for the holiday itself. So stay tuned for that. Tara, The Passions of Carol. Everyone, have a great triple Xmas. Hey, you got The Passions of Carol. You got Brazzers Big Tit Christmas. You got The Grinch Who Gaped Christmas. You got Christmas Porn. Enjoy it. Get into it. But with Passions of Carol, you might learn a lesson.
You might learn a lesson. You might get sad, but then you'll get happy again. And then maybe go stick a candy cane up your ass.
I am fully on board, Underground Espionage listeners. Merry Christmas, but we'll talk to you again before Santa Claus himself arrives. Oh, Tara, should we end this by singing the version of a song that you wrote, at least the chorus? Well, I think you kind of wrote. You wrote a whole new version. I remember. She'll blow you when you're sleeping.
She'll blow when you're awake. She'll blow you if you've been bad or good.
She'll be good,
for goodness sake.
You better not cry.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Sophie.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Let me do it all over. Okay. Because we're doing the extended Christmas, so we got to do the extended pod. You better not pout. You better not cry. You better not shout. I'm telling you why. I don't know how it goes. Sophie D is coming to town.
There you go, Tara. Yeah. I set you up for that. We didn't prepare.
It was unready. I forgot the lyrics because I made up a lot of Sophie different little.
Sophie D is coming to town.
Sophie D is coming to town. Sophie D is coming to town. Sophie D is coming to town. I would love it if Sophie D was coming to this town, meaning this apartment. So darn cute.
This apartment. And
she's so right darn now. Cute. Like right now, I'd give her one of these cocoa rolls. I would impress her with my candles.
And see what else happens.
See what? I would get her advice on sheets.
We would do all of that and so much more. Listeners, thank you so much. We will talk to you shortly with The Signal Man ghost story for Christmas.